The Connected Home can be everything around information, access, entertainment, the opportunity to control devices. It can actually augment the physical home in ways we have not yet captured or thought of before.
Is this going to be the year of the connected home? This is Future Lab, the online radio series from Intel Labs. I'm Jason Lopez. It all seems so doable, connecting all your electronics up to a single system. So close, yet so far away. With a new year comes the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, and manufacturers and retailers are unveiling more appliances and gadgets that can connect to the internet. Will the promise of the connected home pan out this year? Deirdre Kennedy has this report.
Imagine a world where you can remotely control all of the devices and appliances in your home. Just before you leave work, you adjust the thermostat so that your house is just the right temperature when you arrive. You turn on the oven to cook the meal you put in that morning. Your refrigerator pings you that it's made an appointment to be repaired. When you get home, dinner is ready, and the kids have started a group field trip on their widescreen TV monitors. That fantasy of a fully automated home has been around since the 1960s animated TV family, The Jetsons. Well, it's 2011 already, and that fantasy doesn't seem much closer to reality. Or is it?
Every year for the last decade, I think we've heard that this is the year of the connected home. This is the year of the connected home.
Neil McPhail is Senior Vice President and General Manager in charge of New Business Customer Solutions Group at Best Buy.
I'm probably the voice of reason to say, you know, let's temper the enthusiasm a bit around what that story is while we accelerate the enthusiasm around what the opportunity is. It's very clear that the technology is not only available, but is relevant.
Retailers like Best Buy have begun rolling out all kinds of products under the connected home concept. Devices that provide security, automation, energy management, and entertainment inside the home. McPhail says, until recently, consumers mostly focused on home entertainment, downloading content from the internet and wirelessly streaming it to devices in different rooms. He says, in 2010, the key to controlling virtually all home devices came into widespread use when consumers adopted smartphones and the wireless tablet.
It can replace televisions for content, be a control device for the TV or the second screen. It can be a communication device. It can give you information about a wide variety of things going on in your home. It can do just about everything. It is creating an experience that is very intuitive and not overly complex. These are going to be the very entry points with which consumers will start to experiment more with various aspects of home control. And then from that, we'll begin to accelerate into more robust, dedicated devices that can do even more.
Even gaming platforms like the Nintendo Wii or Sony PlayStation's Move could eventually become platforms to control all kinds of sensor-based connections in the home, says McPhail. And Ericsson recently unveiled an iPad-like remote to control televisions that it says will eventually be able to serve applications for enhanced video communications, like remote healthcare portals and home surveillance.
We are steamrolling ahead to a world where everything that plugs in is considered a connected device. The chipsets have become almost ubiquitous in anything with a plug, and I think the first and most logical place for that to start to happen is around smart appliances.
In the 1999 Disney movie, The Smart House, a home computer named Pat ran the entire household, waking the family, choosing their outfits, and preparing meals.
Hey, Pat. What's with the Green Acres routine?
Your personality profile indicates you find it very calming to visualize the simplicity of country life.
No, smart appliances won't be making pancakes anytime soon, but they will be able to record and assess how much energy they're using from the local power grid and modify their consumption or shut themselves off and even send a message to their owner if they're damaged. Smart appliances will also be able to feed back data to manufacturers to help them better meet the customer's needs, says CNET.com senior editor Brian Cooley.
Because everything gets better when it's connected, from a refrigerator to literally even a toaster or a coffee maker, all the way to your car. We're seeing all these things move in lockstep toward a connected future because not only does it allow us to enjoy the product more and get more out of it, it also makes the product more personalized. You can't personalize a product without having a connection to it. and car makers, and of course computer makers, television makers, all want to have an extended relationship with the customer because either they or companies they partner with can make money off that. They can offer you services and say, stay in touch with us.
Getting connected might not be as simple as it sounds, particularly as the technology entering our homes over the next few years becomes more and more complex. Users will have to figure out how to configure the wide variety of available devices in order to get the performance and convenience they want. Some products will require a device-to-device connection using a low-bandwidth radio signal like Zigbee or Bluetooth that only covers a small area. Computers and printers can link through a cable or wireless router, while other devices will need to send and receive data to the internet or a smartphone.
That whole mix of especially wireless connectivity these days really, really bedevils a lot of people. We get a lot of questions about what kind of wireless they can use. There's 3G on cell phones. Now 4G is coming. But that isn't the same as the iPhone 4, it just happens to share a number, so that's confusing. Then you have Wi-Fi and 3G on laptops. You have all these different ways to connect, and each of them has its own little technical tricks to make it work, and its own strong points and shortcomings.
From a consumer perspective, troubleshooting a wireless router or figuring out TCP/IP settings can seem as difficult as calculus, but it's the tip of the iceberg. Dive below the surface and you begin to appreciate just how complex your home network can be, which is why computer scientists like Dina Papagiannaki are researching things like handoff algorithms or physical layer technologies in order to understand how to demystify networks for the average user.
So most users, they expect this type of device, you know, you expect it to be plugged in and work right away. And if it doesn't, most people, they just return the box back to the store and they don't even bother.
Papagiannaki is a research scientist at Intel Labs who collaborates with scientists at Carnegie Mellon University, as well as other research institutions, on the connected home.
So there are certain aspects to the complexity. One of the things I think has to do with the interface that manufacturers use to convey different types of configuration parameters to the users, and these tend to be very, very ugly. In most cases, they have a large number of options. You don't know if you change something, if you're breaking, or if you're fixing something, right? So it's most users tend to stay away from all those things. So I think the human-computer interaction aspect of things certainly contributes a lot.
Of course, customers can always hire a home networking specialist to come in and set it all up for them. But even then, the network can degrade or fail, causing devices to act up or stop working altogether. In order to diagnose the reasons for those performance problems, Papagiannaki networked more than 30 different devices, including security systems and music, throughout her own home.
If you configure it right, it's going to work for a little bit, right? When it stops working or when it starts misbehaving or underperforming is where things get very complicated. A lot of those services, they are being offered on top of unlicensed frequency bands. That's what most of those products use, because you don't need a license to operate in them. And as you try to cram more and more things in those unlicensed frequency bands that are of limited capacity, things are likely to get worse and worse.
If all networked products were just built on top of, say, Wi-Fi, where you have a single protocol running across all those devices, things could potentially be easier. But right now, it's totally arbitrary, says Papagiannaki. For users who aren't computer scientists, she says, a truly connected home that works without a hitch may still be a long way off. Nobody wants their home network to go haywire and leave them stranded outside their front door.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
CNET.com's Brian Cooley says the question of whether 2011 will be the year the connected home technology takes off comes down to whether the products can really deliver what they promise on the box, and whether the convenience is really worth the potential hassle of setting them up.
Is there a real case for these new connected devices, or are they mostly a gimmick? You know, the vision for the connected refrigerator is that it will know when you're out of certain things and can pre-send a grocery list to an online grocer. So all you have to do is go log in and say, yep, go ahead and send those to my house. Or the connected television, that's on the market now. It's very real. It lets you stream things from the internet without a computer, which is a nice living room experience. So it'll depend on whether these are realistic cases first and useful.
For now, big retailers like Best Buy are encouraging manufacturers to adopt industry standards, install the appropriate chipsets, and improve their design mechanics so that products can connect seamlessly. For Future Lab, I'm Deirdre Kennedy.
That's our show for today. This is Future Lab, the online radio series from Intel Labs. You can find more Future Lab shows at iTunes and at connectedsocialmedia.com. Intel Labs is on the internet at intel.com/research.